It's the Kim Munson Show, analyzing the most important story.
Out here in Colorado, we had a sex education bill that was passed. It was signed by the governor and put into law. I just can't believe what is happening to public education.
The latest in politics and world affairs.
We are now using policy that if you don't affirm something, that they use policy then to take away your businesses.
Today's current opinions and ideas.
Kids are just being bombarded with darkness.
Is it freedom or is it force? Let's have a conversation.
You know, we need to get back to letting our kids be kids.
Uh-oh, guess what day it is? Guess what day it is? Leslie, guess what today is?
It's hump day.
Woo-hoo! Woo-hoo, yes it is hump day. Welcome to the show. I am Kim Munson, and let's have a conversation. Be sure and check out my website, KimMunson.com. That's M-O-N-S-O-N.com. Podcasts of the show are there, and lots of great information. And sign up for our email newsletter. It's Kim, as well. That's right there on the website, KimMunson.com. And welcome to the show. It is April 1. It looks like the next 30 days are going to be very interesting. If in fact you watched the press conference yesterday with the task force, President Trump. It looks like he's really taking this coronavirus, Wuhan virus, very seriously. So it's going to be very interesting, I think, for the next 30 days. Steve, did you get to see that at all?
I didn't see it in its when it was live. I've saw snippets of it since, and certainly it's been all over the news this morning.
Yes, and so he's taking it very seriously. And so I was kind of late to the party. I talked to Cody Hubley, who is a frequent guest on the show and does some really great op-eds for us. And he was very concerned about this early on. I didn't take it quite as seriously, but it seems that the president says that this can be transmitted very easily. So all these things that they're saying, wash your hands and some physical distancing is probably a good idea right now. But we've got a great show planned for you. A couple of things I wanted to mention is be sure and check out my website. We are doing some headlines for hope. These are some great stories. As many of you know, I've interviewed well over 120 World War II veterans, as well as our story from yesterday was about Orson Swindell, who was in a Vietnam veteran, and he was actually a POW for 6 years and 4 months, or 3 months. And Steve, it's a powerful story. You seem to really like it.
Well, especially the way he wrapped it up, and I don't want to say anything here and now. I don't want to take away the surprise, but certainly there was an uplifting moment there. Once he got back to the States and told his story, there was really some really humorous things. I mean, it was just the reality of his situation at the time, but what a way to turn it around on the enemy.
Right. And so we're trying to keep it at about 3 minutes. And so be sure and check that out. I think they're really great stories. And that's at KimMunson.com. Today, yesterday we had Aaron Will on, who has challenged us for the next 30 days at noon to wherever you are, just stop and play Lee Greenwood's God Bless the USA. So I have that on my calendar today. And interesting, Steve, she and I were texting last night that her account that had been deactivated when she made that second post on that neighborhood social media platform has been reinstated. And she said that was just curious that that happened the same day that she was on the show. So I thought that was very positive.
Never underestimate the power of good radio, I guess.
That's for sure. And then I'm doing something really interesting. We did an initial dress rehearsal yesterday, but Martha McCallum, who is on Fox News, the national channel, is doing a town hall tomorrow during her show, which is at 5 p.m. on Mountain Time. And I'm going to get to take part in that. And so you might check that out. That's going to be on national television, and it should be pretty cool.
Looking forward to that. Tell us, it's obviously what how's it going to be carried? I guess is a specific network or?
Yeah, it'll be on Fox News.
Oh, Fox News. Okay. All right.
Yeah. On the national. So.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. Very cool. Although we were doing our dress rehearsal and yesterday was a ball cap day. And he said, if we have technical difficulties, we're going to use this. And I'm like, I think I better than maybe go do something with my hair. And so I did.
Because move over Laura Ingraham.
Yeah, right. We look at these issues on the show, though, as freedom versus force, force versus freedom. And we have some really important conversations that we're going to have today about that. But before we do that, April 1st, we thought we would put together some kind of humorous things that happened on the show. So what do you have for us, Steve?
Well, I guess the first couple have to do with the affliction of knowing which day of the week it is. I don't know, that could happen to anybody, but after the second one, it's like, wow, what's... So here's one of them.
Indeed. Let's have a conversation. I'm Kim Munson, and it is Friday. Producer Steve, are you excited about that?
No, because it's Thursday.
Oh, gosh.
So that was the first time that we had, you know, that situation. So, and again, that can happen to anybody. But the next time Susan Kochevar was in on it, in terms of setting the record straight.
So welcome to the show. It's Friday. Producer Steve, you've made it. It's Friday. I know that that's one of your favorite days, and it's great to have in studio with me my good friend and one of the partners of the show, and that is Susan Kochevar with 88 Drive-In Theater. It's great to have you here.
Thank you. You've been working too hard, though. How's that? It's Thursday.
It is Thursday. I can confirm that.
The funny part on that particular day was I was doing something. I think the other guest was slow in getting here, and I was trying to get him settled. And the studio door to where you normally sit was still open. And I heard you saying that, hey, it's your favorite day of the week. And I thought, why is Thursday my favorite day of the week? And it wasn't until Susan got in there and said, no, it's Thursday. I see.
Hopefully, I don't know what to say. Mm-hmm. So there can't be any more bloopers. Is there any more bloopers?
Oh, please. I got two classics here. This one, is, again, this could happen to anybody.
Thrilled to have on the line with us Dr. Vil Jeckio.
Good morning, ladies. How are you? Kim, do you know you called me Vil Jeckio originally?
Did I call you Vil Jeckio? Oh, my gosh.
You're working under the gun, and you're working quickly, and that happens.
I am blushing now. Mm. I am blushing now. So,
and the fact that Jill was so gracious about it.
Yeah. We're going to have her on the show, let's see, tomorrow. So let's see if I can get it right tomorrow. You know it?
And no list of these would be complete without Jason's input, so...
I remember, I'm going to date myself, Jason, I remember going to the drive-in theater. I had so much fun.
Were you in the front seat when you had fun,
gosh.
Kim? Or, we all had fun there.
But. Wow, you weren't expecting that, were you?
I was not expecting. Am I blushing?
You are blushing.
I'm probably blushing again. I thought you were going to have the one about when you were had left the room, and I thought you were going to have that as one of our bloopers.
I was, but in the interest of time, I pulled it back.
Okay. Well, hopefully, did you ever do any April Fool's jokes on your kids by any chance?
Oh, yeah.
I had two great ones. We had a little dog, a little male dog who was probably at the time 13 years old, maybe not quite that old. And I went to get the kids up for school and I said, Snoozer had puppies last night. And they got up, they're like, really? And then it was April Fool's, but that was one of my best. How about you?
Well, my son, he's so much wired like I am. He was quick to pick up on anything. So he wasn't, there was no real gain there. But my daughter is so literal and takes everything. I mean, I remember one time son was teasing his sister and saying, yeah, and the word gullible is written on the ceiling. And she looked up.
My other one I did is I moved the kids' car before they went to school. And then I said, you guys, I don't know what happened, but I think the car was stolen last night. And then they found it around the corner. So those were two of my really good ones. So, okay, let's go ahead. There's several things I'd like to mention. First of all, Dee Dee Chisholm over at Bella Health and Wellness could still use some of the men's extra large cotton dress shirts. As they're seeing patients, they will put on one of those shirts over their uniforms, and then they'll discard the shirt and wash it and disinfect it for, you know, the next patient, but that could really help them out. And then Helen Raleigh and Dr. Paul Prentice, we were going to be doing our three punches to knock down democratic socialism earlier this week. We've rescheduled that for June 22nd, and I'm pretty sure that's going to sell out, particularly with all that is going on right now. We're getting a taste of what socialism looks like. And I think people don't really like that. The effects of socialism are shortages and empty shelves at the store and government taking more and more control of things. And we need to walk this back as we get through this coronavirus, Wuhan virus crisis. And so it'll be very important to get our brains around these issues, because this next election in November is probably one of the most important elections in our lifetime. So it's important to engage in this battle of ideas, and you need to understand why we believe what we believe.
You know,
so that's going to be really important. Go ahead, Steve.
It's irony, I guess. I don't know how many of the last major elections, what number, the last four or five major elections, that phrase, this will be the most important election of our time. And we keep on every 4 years or 2 years, whatever, we dust drag that phrase out, dust it off. And you want to say, well, wait a minute. Well, the last one was the most important election of our time. And now here it comes again. It's like, what's going on here? It's like, well, the erosion of the culture to a degree, the, like you say, the battle of ideas. And some of these ideas keep getting more and more far-fetched and, you know, basically un-American. So it's an interesting phrase.
It is. But I'm not kidding. This is one of the most important elections. This probably is the most important election, at least of my lifetime at this time. And we need to engage in the battle of ideas. Words matter. Ideas matter. And we are really seeing that. So as we walk through these next 30 days, I think it's going to be a little rough. But we are Americans. We are going to come back, come out of this on the other side. And I think we're going to be stronger. We need to unify. I was over at Safeway yesterday and said thank you to the woman that was checking out my groceries. And I've known her. I mean, we've talked over the years. And I said, thank you. And she said, people are saying thank you all the time. And she said, they are so nice. And I said, you know, you're truly the heroes. And I kind of got teary eyed, and she did as well. So we are so lucky to live where we live. We're going to go to break. Before we do that, though, you know, I have a list of amazing sponsors, and they are the reason that I'm on the show. And just to mention, Karen Levine with RE/MAX Alliance, Jason McBride, we'll talk to him at the bottom of the hour, and his whole team over at Presidential Wealth Management, Hooters Restaurants, Susan Kochevar with the Historic 80 at Drive-In Theater, the Harris family, Liberty Oilfield Services, Jay Davidson with First American State Bank, Lauren Levy answering all your mortgage questions. He's with Polygon Financial, Water's Edge Winery, Liberty Toastmasters, and Chris Cantwell with Trans World Business Advisors. I highly recommend and endorse all of these people. Before we go to break, though, it's time to buckle down and help all of our restaurants, our bars, and our taverns. With Governor Polis and Mayor Hancock's edicts to close dine-in options for individuals, restaurant workers are facing some lean times. So restaurants are getting creative. Hooters Restaurants is my valued partner, and they support my shows. So let them know how much you appreciate their sponsorship by stopping by and picking up dinner to take home, or you can have Hooters wings delivered right to your front door via one of the delivery services. Be sure and check out order.hooters.com. That works really well. Steve, you said you used that within the last week, and it was just great.
Yep, and the convenience factor, the ease of getting the order placed, and then, you know, it was on my wife's way home. I mean, she couldn't have been any more in line between our house and her office, and she hit Hooters, and boy, it was great.
Well, awesome. So again, that's order.hooters.com. We're going to go to break. We'll be right back with Matt Durkin.
Award-winning realtor Karen Levine has 30 years of experience with RE/MAX Alliance. As a director with the National Association of Realtors, Karen Levine works to protect private property rights. Karen Levine believes in homeownership. Because of Karen's love of dogs, Karen volunteers with GRR, Golden Retriever Rescue of the Rockies, helping golden retrievers find their forever homes. Choose Karen Levine to buy or sell your home because she understands that it's more than just a house. Karen Levine comes highly recommended by Kim Munson. Call award-winning realtor Karen Levine with RE/MAX Alliance today at 303-877-7516. That's 303-877-7516.
Water's Edge Winery and Bistro is celebrating 5 years in business and is now open Tuesday through Sunday, 3 p.m. to 8 p.m. Located near the northwest corner of Arapahoe and University, they are offering to-go food and wine to keep you fed and happy. Call 720-381-6663 to place our curbside to-go order, or stop in and grab your bottles and lunch or dinner. That's 720-381-6663, or follow Water's Edge Winery and Bistro Centennial on Facebook or Instagram for updates and specials.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out my website. That's Kim Munson, MUNSON.com. And go over to Facebook and like the show as well. We'd greatly appreciate that. On the line with me, it's Wednesday, is Matt Durkin. He is a candidate for Jefferson County DA. And Matt, we were talking before we came to, got to this segment, that this is one of the most important elections of at least my lifetime. But it's not only at the national level, it's these local races that are so important as well. And you're stepping forward to run for Jefferson County DA. Why are you doing that, Matt Durkin?
Well, good morning, Kim. Thanks for having me on. I'm running for Jefferson County District Attorney just because this is my community. It's the community I was born in and grew up in. And I just am absolutely in love with our community. But, Kim, I hate to see what's happening to it. What is happening to it is a drug addiction crisis, is fueling a crime wave. And we are seeing crime like we have never seen before. I've been doing this for nearly 25 years. As a prosecutor in the office where I'm currently a chief DA, and we have just never seen this level of crime.
Well, I wanted to talk a little bit about Philadelphia. Our researcher, Patty, had found something that they are kind of relaxing crime, but yet I find it so interesting in this COVID-19 Wuhan virus thing that, in fact, law-abiding citizens are being cited for just going outside. But yet it seems like there's a relaxing on the definition of crime. What is happening, Matt Durkin?
Well, the concern that we have with places like Philadelphia is George Soros has put in DAs there who are refusing to prosecute crime. And in this midst of this crisis that we're going through right now, they have announced that they are not going to arrest people, which is pretty common around the country. But there they have gone so far as to say that they're not going to arrest people for crimes as significant as burglary. So breaking into someone's home or into somebody's business, they're just going to write them a summons and say, we'll see you in court in a couple weeks. And those are serious crimes that need to be addressed even in a time of crisis.
Well, now you got to think about that. Burglary. I mean, that's coming in and stealing somebody's stuff, and they say they're not going to actually pursue that. That's pretty darn scary, particularly in this time that we're going through right now. People are a little on edge. You could see that could not end well. So we need to be very concerned about that, Matt Durkin.
Absolutely, absolutely, and it is frustrating and that these stay in place and orders are in place. Obviously, we have to take this thing very seriously and make sure that the spread doesn't continue. But at the same time, you have folks who are being ordered inside their homes as DAs and police in places like Philadelphia aren't prosecuting significant crimes on the street. So we need to be very vigilant here. We are trying to adjust as best we can, but we have to make sure that Philadelphia doesn't happen to places like Jefferson County.
Well, and isn't there some legislation that is really going to affect kind of these definitions of crime as well here in Colorado?
Indeed. What we have seen before the legislature went on their break is that they were talking about reducing penalties. And this has been a trend that's been going on for several years. They had reduced the penalties for simple drug possession. But they've gone so far as to say that they want to reduce the penalties for violent crime, including homicide. So, again, we need to be very vigilant here as the legislature comes back into session and make sure that that doesn't happen here.
You know, what a crazy time we are in America, that we have the legislature here in Colorado. Now we're in temporary adjournment. That has talking about reducing kind of the definition of violent crime. But yet on the other side, I see this huge overreach on making everyday citizens criminals for just kind of living life. Something isn't matching up here with me, Matt Durkin.
It's becoming hard to explain when you they introduced bills like the Second Chance Bill, which is 2076, where they're trying to reduce the amount of time that violent criminals serve in prison from 75 to 50%. Also, Senate Bill 2191, where they're trying to reduce the penalty for felony murder. And at the same time, they're just trying to restrict people's, as you say, ordinary lives. So, it has gone beyond reform, and it's really placing our community at risk.
You know, I find something really positive about this whole COVID-19 Wuhan virus thing, and that is that people, I used to talk to a lot of people, and they say, oh, I'm not into politics. And, you know, politics is definitely into you, but this, I think, has offered a time for us to see that the veil has really been kind of lifted on this agenda, that when people, you know, felt safe, they didn't really realize that all these definitions were changing. They were starting to see something happen in their communities. For example, I heard that at a dog park recently, there were several smash and grabs. That's where people smash windows and just grab stuff that's in the car. Well, you know, that is very expensive for the victim to have to have that window repaired. You never know what has been stolen. And all of a sudden, I think people are starting to pay attention. You know, these quote-unquote smaller crimes actually do affect everyday hardworking people. What's your thoughts on that, Matt?
Well, I tell you what, that's what's frustrating to me, both as a prosecutor, but also as someone who's born and raised here in Jefferson County. And as DAs around the country, San Francisco and in Dallas, again, George Soros put those DAs in those communities, and those DAs refused to prosecute crimes for property crimes below $1,000 or $750. I don't know about you, Kim, but that's a lot of money to me. That's money that I don't have, and that these days not many people are going to have when we come out of this COVID-19 crisis. So the fact that they are refusing to prosecute those types of crimes not only victimizes the community and the individual, but it really has the potential to lead to greater crime, more violent crime, if someone were to try to stop those offenders. So this is a terrible, terrible thing for the community. And we've seen that in those communities. We see what's happening in San Francisco, where violent crime is really leaping off the charts.
Well, and, you know, one of the most important things for government is to be limited. But also, the safety is so important. So on a national level, national defense is important. But unless you have safe communities, then, or if you don't have safe communities, it's difficult for businesses to operate. It's difficult for people to go out on the street, to walk around, to be able to live their lives, to work, to thrive and prosper. So that is one of the most important things of local government, is that we have communities that are safe, Matt Durkin.
You're exactly right. And if you were to narrow it down, it would be the primary role of government to make sure that you're safe in your home, that you're safe in your community, your neighborhood, but that also businesses can be safe, so that a coffee store owner who is still operating doesn't wake up to see that their glass door has been shattered. Just so that the person could get whatever is in the cash register, $100 to start the day, so that they don't wake up to $1,000 damage just because the person felt like it was their right to have $100 that's in their cash register. So we need to protect our community, and I agree with you, Kim. It seems as though people are really waking up to that fact.
Well, and Matt Durkin, final thought on this, and then how can people reach you?
Well, we're in the middle of a crazy time right now, and we are still here. The district attorney's office in Jefferson County and Gilpin counties and prosecutors around the Denver metro area, we are still here protecting our community. So we are essential personnel that goes to work every day, and we have not been undeterred by this thing that's going on. So please go to durkinforda.com. That's durkinforda.com to contribute, to volunteer, and to know more about our campaign.
Okay, Matt Durkin, thank you so much. We'll talk to you next Wednesday morning.
All right. Thanks, Kim.
Okay, Jason McBride, Presidential Wealth Management. After that presser with President Trump yesterday, the markets are a little jittery today, aren't they?
Well, sometimes the truth hurts, doesn't it, Kim?
That it does.
So, yeah, I think he was very straightforward that the next couple of weeks could be rough, and then kind of extending out the
social distancing guidelines.
So,
I think
for you know another 30 days. I don't really think it's a surprise, but the markets don't like to hear it. And yeah, yesterday we gave back or sold off into the close. The volume, which I've been talking about for the last couple of days, Kim, picked back up. And I think the trading volume is always a clue as to how much punch there is to a move. I mean, we did get a few days higher. It still looks better than it did, but we didn't get that huge volume I would have liked to seen on the up days. Day before yesterday, we had a good up day, but the volume was very light compared to where it had been. And then yesterday, it really picked back up again on the sell-off day, so we still have some issues, Kim. And then this morning, looks like we're going to start off pretty rough. The futures on the Dow are down about 800 at this point. But again, you don't know what might happen by the end of the day. Today's also the last day of the yesterday was the last day of the quarter, so you had a lot of window dressing there too. So we're going to open rough. We'll see where we're at the end of the day, and just keep watching for opportunities.
Well, and I think there is opportunity there. You have to be pretty steely, I think, to be looking for them. But I'd recommend that people sit down with you. Well, I guess they can't sit down with you right now, but to call you at 303-694-1600, 303-694-1600, or check out our landing page together, airpresidential.com. And during this time when we're kind of sequestered in our homes, I would recommend that, you know, let's take your temperature on risk and where we are exactly. It's a good time to do that, and I'd highly recommend that, Jason.
Well, yeah, I think it's a good time to do that, to look at your overall portfolio. I mean, the stuff you have exposed to the market, is it time to do a rebalance? Are you too heavy in one area now than you're supposed to be? Is it time to make some adjustments? Now, you may have to make them again a couple of more times before it's all over, but you kind of do these things in stages when we're having a rough time like this, and then just keep watching and reevaluating and be willing to change your mind quickly if need be.
Well, and that's why people should talk with a professional like you and your colleagues at Presidential Wealth Management.
Well, I sure appreciate that, Kim, and our wonderful and fine advisors are ready, willing, and able to speak to you if you need some help. Like you say, kind of hard to do a meeting right now, but give us a call, 303-694-1600. Natalie will get you connected to one of our folks, and you can ask us anything, and I know we'll do whatever we can to help.
Most definitely. So, Jason McBride, thank you so much. We will talk to you tomorrow morning.
All right, Kim. Have a great show.
Okay, thanks so much. We're going to go to break. When we come back, we'll continue on with some of these headlines. This is Kim Munson. Be sure and check out my website, Kim Munson. That's MONSON.com. We'll be right back.
A reverse mortgage can be an important financial tool for individuals 62 and older. it is essential to understand the process so that all of your questions are answered. With over 17 years in the mortgage industry, Lauren Levy, Polygon Financial Group, has the experience to answer your questions. Lauren knows that each financial transaction is personal. If you'd like to explore your options on a reverse mortgage or with rates down, explore options to remodel your home, buy a rental property, or move, call Lauren Levy at 303-880-8881. That's 303-880-8881 for a mortgage checkup.
You'd like to get in touch with one of Kim Monson's sponsors, but you can't recall their phone number. Find a full list of advertising partners on Kim's website, kimmonson.com. That's Kim, MONSON.com.
Hey, welcome back to the Kim Monson Show. I am Kim Monson. Be sure and check out our website. That's kimmonson.com. Go over into Facebook. We'd appreciate it if you'd like the show as well. You can email me at kim@kimmonson.com as well. Today, remember, starting at noon, be sure and on your computer, your device, whatever, play God Bless the USA. That's the recommendation from Aaron Will. We'll do that for the next 30 days as we march through this challenge. After watching the president yesterday, Steve, I feel that we are in a war. It's kind of an invisible war. And, I have interviewed so many World War II veterans, and that was not easy. The country came together. There was rationing, but we really tightened our belts. We came together, and I feel that that's something that we need to do right now, Steve.
Oh, no doubt about it. Again, I keep going back to the tone of yesterday's briefing, and it must be very difficult to stay on the fence between trying to be upbeat and have a display of confidence in what we are doing collectively, but at the same time being realistic and the people who are stepping forth and are part of that team, bringing their expertise to the situation and saying, okay, here is a measured response. Here is what our best guess of what's going to happen. And as I said in the last, several times in the last week or two, any leader at any level wants to know when he makes a decision, he or she, that they could get that feedback right away that says, oh, that was the right thing to do, or no, it wasn't. And we are in a situation where a decision is made and it takes time to analyze what the outcome is, what the outcome that indicates that it was a good or maybe a not so good decision. It's not a position I'd like to be in.
You just mentioned the word leader. In America, we've had everybody wants to be a leader, and we have people that we elect to office. And just because somebody is in a particular position, that does not mean that they are a leader. And I think what we're seeing with President Trump right now is real leadership. That had to be a very difficult press conference yesterday because they didn't really pull any bones back. They've looked at the modeling. They've looked at how they think that this virus can be transmitted from person to person. And I think that President Trump really does have a love for the American people, no matter what the descriptor is. I think he has a real love for the American people, and he sees his responsibility to protect them. And that is a responsibility of government to defend. So we are defending against something that is, it sounds like it's pretty insidious. Over time, I think we'll find out how it came to be. And so the next 30 days, I think, is going to be kind of rocky. It's going to be interesting. We need to tighten our belts and buckle down because we are Americans. But this goes into, Patty has found some very important pieces that we need to talk about. And that is what we focus on the show is freedom versus force, force versus freedom. Socialism ultimately comes down to force. And if something is a good idea, you should not have to force people to do that. And so the responses that we see from some of these politicians that are in positions of leadership, but I would submit to you that they are not really leaders. They are people that are taking advantage of this situation to take away our freedoms. And that's where we have to have a conversation. So Lawrence Reed, with the Foundation for Economic it's fee.org. Now I'm not remembering the last letter. It is, he said, the nation's true test comes after the crisis. He says, perhaps it's natural and understandable for most people to think that things like leadership and character are forged and evidenced in response to a crisis. It's quite apparent in the present moment that judgments about public figures are being shaped by how they are handling the virus pandemic. Is that not true, Steve? Did you happen to hear Ralph Northam, who is the governor of Virginia? He has put their stay in shelter in place, or whatever you call it, edict to go through June 10th. Now, I was listening to one of the other talk show hosts, and he said, I find that very interesting that that is the day after the Republican primaries. Or the primaries. And how can you decide on June 10th? And we've talked about this with Mayor Hancock and also with Governor Polis. A more measured response, such as what we saw out of the White House, is asking for us to have 15 days to have our physical distancing, and then we'll reassess that. The president has come in and reassessed that. But these people that are in positions of power, as we are seeing them usurp more and more of our rights for more and more of their power, we will continue this conversation after we get through this, because I think it is very telling about what they will do with their positions of quote-unquote leadership or power. And one of the most important, I think, as we look at it, as people that, what do they do after they get through it, after they are in a position where they could take more and more power? And a perfect example is George Washington. Last week we had Ben Martin on, as we're working through once a month this fabulous series on important speeches and documents of our American founding, is that when George Washington could have taken that next step to have, quote unquote, become king because he was so popular, he'd done such a great job. Instead of doing that, he stepped back. And at that point, King George said that he is one of the greatest men that have ever lived. And so when you're at that precipice where you can take more power, the definition of virtue and character is, do you take that step? Or do you step back? And so, Steve, what I see with a number of these governors and mayors is, instead of stepping back and having a measured response, they're grabbing more and more power. Your thought?
Well, the word ego or egotistical, a derivative of the root word, comes to mind. I mean, what George Washington, maybe he could have gone on and proclaimed himself or ascended to some level of quote-unquote kingship, but he was well aware of what our history was. What we were trying to get away from was a monarchy, and he didn't let his ego get out of control. I'm thinking of what we're seeing today, whether it's Ralph Northam or the two other individuals here locally in this state. Yeah, one of the best ways to control people is through fear. So when you grab a date like that, that's way out in the future versus this more incremental two-week, three-week thing, oh, just grab this date of June 10th. That puts fear into people, and there's no real explanation, good explanation, of why June 10th or, you know, these 30-day dates that have been put in front of us on a more local basis. So, again, the ego aspect, it always becomes just gets put under suspicion right off the bat, at least in my way of thinking.
Well, and you know, the other thing, connecting the dots on Ralph Northam, we have played it. It was a while back. He was on a radio show there in Virginia. He's the governor of Virginia. And they were talking about these late term abortions. And on this radio show, he actually said that they would let a baby be delivered, and then they would decide what they were going to do. And Jason had mentioned, so the real question is, what were the choices? What are you going to do? Are you going to help the baby live or not? I mean, that is really the question. So when you have these people that are in positions of leadership that on one hand would let a little baby die after being born, But yet, under the guise of protecting people, and they take power, and they say you can't get out of your home until June 10th. There's no reason for that. My gosh, the people of Virginia better step up. And of course, the people here in Colorado as well on these elections, and really, you know, take a look at what these people stand for. And so if they can't stand for the most vulnerable over here, do they really care for everyone else over here? I think not, Steve.
Well, I can't help wondering if, you know, we call it the Denver Boulder Corridor here right now, and the quote unquote power that's in that geography. But didn't we see last November, and was it Prop CC, and the way that went, the rest of the state kind of gets pushed back on its heels when they see such a power grab going on in the Denver Boulder Corridor. And, you know, everyone could easily get bummed out about that. But again, the outcome of Prop CC said the rest of the state can counterbalance the Denver Boulder Corridor. Now, back to Washington, or I'm sorry, Northern Virginia. It has been said, people looking at it and saying, what the heck is going on in Virginia? And the Northern Virginia suburbs and, you know, in that vicinity within, say, a 50-60 mile radius of Washington, D.C., has brought in a lot of more of the liberal-minded people as be at the seat of government. But once the rest of Virginia figures out what's going on, will somebody like Northam survive another election?
Well, that is the question. And we have our own battle here, our battle of ideas. And that's why we do this show, to get our brains around this. Now, that particular piece by Lawrence Reed is from FEE. That's the Foundation for Economic Education. And it is a really important piece. One other thing I wanted to mention there, because I've done so much work with our World War II veterans. Of course, we're adding in Korea, Vietnam, and all of the other conflicts is, let's see here, he says, he was talking about Cicero, and at the height of his power as consul, having snuffed out a mortal threat to Roman liberty, Cicero was quick to return power to the people. When his one-year term was up, he honored the term limit requirement and retired. And so Cicero did his job, and then he went home. And that is really what the idea of the American founding was, is that people would be citizen legislators, they would do their job, and they would go home, which is what George Washington did. It says, Cicero yearned for both liberty and normalcy. Nations are great to the extent they do as well. Some say America's greatness during World War II showed itself in our awesome abilities to bomb the enemy to smithereens. I think instead we proved our greatness when we walked away when the task was finished. We didn't annex Japan or Western Europe, as say the Soviets effectively did, and Eastern Europe. That was an amazing moment. That is part of the American DNA. And actually, Steve, I know that our kids in many colleges are being taught that America is an imperialistic kind of nation. I say, where do you see that exactly? And when we stepped back after World War II, that showed the character of our nation. So let's go to break. Before we do that, though, I do want to say thanks to the team, to all of you, to Steve, Patty, Zach, Keith, and Charlie, and the Crawford Broadcasting family, as well as each of you listeners. You have a purpose today. Strive for excellence. Take care of heart, soul, mind, and body. We're in a very kind of interesting time. Do not fear. And our quote yesterday from Dale Carnegie is, the amount of life you need to focus on is from right now until you go to bed tonight, and then we get up tomorrow and we do it again. Let's go to break, Steve. I want to continue on with some of these headlines that Patty has found, because they're very important. We'll be right back.
Did you know Hooters wings can fly? That's right. Your favorite wings can be picked up for to-go and can even be delivered right to your doorstep. Take advantage of Hooters' delicious lunch specials, like our seaworthy Baja fish tacos, mouthwatering Western burger, or our new roasted wings. Lunch specials are available to go Monday through Friday from 11:30 a.m. to 3 p.m. Curbside service available. Place your order online at order.hooters.com. Get your wings to fly only at Hooters.
All of Kim's sponsors are an inclusive partnership with Kim and are not affiliated with or in partnership with KLZ or Crawford Broadcasting. If you would like to support the work of the Kim Munson Show and grow your business, contact Kim at her website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com.
You want to succeed, so you need to dress for the job, event, or relationship that you seek. For more than 30 years, entrepreneur and stylist Kim Munson has been helping women look their very best. And guys, Kim can help you with made-to-measure shirts that fit great and you'll love to wear. Guys and gals, if you want to up your game, freshen your look, email Kim at KimMunson.com for your initial style consult. Kim at KimMunson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com.
Hey, welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. It's KimMunson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. Like us on Facebook. We greatly appreciate that. And I want to go through some other thoughts here. Yesterday, being the rebel that I am, I stopped into Hobby Lobby and got some things. As I was checking out, I said, I never thought that coming into one of my favorite stores would be something that was somewhat civil disobedience. But you probably have seen the headline that Hobby Lobby is remaining open in defiance of Colorado's stay-at-home order, highlighting uncertainty around the mandate. And I think it's pretty courageous that they're doing this. And the thing about it, Steve, is I came in and they had two carts there and they said, this one has been disinfected. So they are disinfecting the carts. And then they put up a plastic kind of see-through barrier when you check out so that you and the person checking out are not breathing on each other. And I'm finding that that is very creative and very innovative. And to try to, you know, kind of honor this physical distancing, but yet not shut down. And so I want to match this up, though, with Governor Polis and Mayor Hancock shutting down so many of these businesses instead of trying to come up with a more creative approach, of which I saw there at Hobby Lobby. And, you know, we're Americans. We can be creative. We can be innovative. And so the question is are we going to do that? Or are we going to, at this point, never let a good crisis go to waste and do what we can as a politician to take more and more power away from the people and put it into government? And during the break, you asked a question, is a politician a leader or a leader a politician? And I think that many times a leader is not a politician, but yet they need to be able to engage in the battle of ideas so that people understand why we're going on a particular track of action. And I think President Trump did a pretty amazing job yesterday. That could not have been an easy press conference to have, Steve.
No, and again, I think, you know, I talk about trying to walk the line, walk the fence of solid leadership, setting a tone, an upbeat tone. We're serious about what we're doing here, but we will get through this. And, you know, again, that team that he has assembled saying, Mr. President, okay, here is the reality. Here's what we know in the world of microbiology and what to expect. And, you know, based on the statistics we're gathering here and now, the next couple of weeks might not be so rosy.
Most definitely. We need to take personal responsibility on this, though, instead of giving up our power. And what we've seen is also within these edicts is a snitch on your neighbor kind of a thing. And that is right out of, like, Nazi Germany, that you would report your neighbors to authorities if you think that they're not distancing far enough or doing something that doesn't adhere to these edicts. But yet when we're talking to Matt Durkin, we have these same leaders that are pushing forward legislation and to make crimes of less than $1,000, you know, like a smash and grab, taking something, smashing a window of a vehicle and taking something out of a vehicle, that won't be a crime. But yet in the Denver Right, they just reported that there's a city enforcement team that had given out 4 citations and hundreds of warnings to residents and businesses violating the city's stay-at-home orders, which are intended to curb the spread of COVID-19. Now, they say it's intended to curb the spread of COVID-19, or is it intended to take more power and to make law-abiding citizens criminals? Well, yet, on the other hand, down at the legislature, they are relaxing the definition of crime for people that are actually stealing stuff. I find this so disconcerting, Steve.
Well, I'm thinking back, you know, using Matt's illustration that he brought to us from Philadelphia. Our news is so quick moving, even when there's not a crisis on us. All right, so we talked about what they're doing in Philadelphia today. Let's revisit that in 6 months and see what the level of anarchy and, you know, just general nonsense is going to come out of that. But, you know, there's not always time to do those types of look backs and say, all right, we made this decision 6 months ago. What has it done to us as a city?
Well, those are really the questions. And in order to be able to thrive and prosper, we need to have safe communities. And, you know, so under the guise of keeping us safe, when we see these politicians and bureaucrats and interested parties you really take a big power grab, we need to watch that, and we need to walk all of this back. There was a couple of other things here.
Well, can I ask a question? Ahead. You weren't here. I wasn't here as the World War II wound down and came to an end. Certainly, there were a lot of things put in place to see us through the war years. How quickly were those things undone? You know, where the government said, okay, there's no need for this anymore or that, or, you know, all the different restrictions that might have been put in place, how quickly were they undone? The test of this situation will be, how quickly will these things be undone?
Well, and that is why we must be vigilant on that. A couple of other things, Steve, as we're moving through this, and that is tracking. That, in fact, government is tracking our citizens many times through our cell phones. And this is something that we've been so concerned about, is the metadata that, you know, has been collected. And now that we are in this crisis, we realize that government is tracking us, and that is not their proper role. And so the veil is off on this. So this is the Colorado Citizen Press. It says Governor Jared Polis made the statement about the location tracking of citizens while answering a question at his press conference. He was asked about what data the government looked at before declaring a stay-at-home order. And then they transposed his response. He says, we're also looking at the different data that is available. Metadata, which means data through data partners, like phone companies, that include things like people that are moving around with cell phones and how much they're moving when people are pinged. Real-time traffic data the Department of Transportation is able to provide. So various sources of metadata, including some that have been reported by the New York Times and others, some of which are available through subscriptions, that are increasingly refining our ability to integrate into our state model to find out what the real impact is of those social distancing measures. But the bottom line is, I don't have the comfort level that the existing extreme measures that we've taken to date are enough to buy us the time we need to save lives in Colorado. That is Governor Jared Polis. And Orwellian surveillance, to put things in perspective, Polis is putting tens of thousands of people or more out of work, confining them to their homes, and now he admits to spying on their movements. If that doesn't concern you, I don't know what would, Steve.
Julian Assange, we need you. You better believe, in terms of all the other issues that Mr. Assange has to deal with today, that he's following stuff like this very closely. I mean, this was the whole, you know, reason he kind of got into so much trouble in terms of being very vocal about what the NSA was up to.
And that's why these elections are so important. And the other thing we've talked a lot about is the administrative state, the bureaucratic state. I've had people that talk about term limits. And really, term limits, I think, should be at the ballot box. But to actually limit the term of an elected official, but yet not do anything about these bureaucrats that are in there for life, is not going to work. So we need to, first of all, roll this back where the people that are making the rules and the laws and the this kind of stuff, that that is the people that we elect, and they are accountable to us. And we saw this with the Tri-County Health Department. The bureaucrat there, the executive director, John Douglas, had put in an edict for Adams, Arapahoe, and Douglas County that would say that we needed to shelter in place. They I have a sign, they closed the golf course. I mean, you talk about physical distancing. You know, if you walk a golf course, you're pretty far from anybody else. So we're seeing this usurping of our individual rights, and we are going to walk through this. And when we get through this, the veil's going to be off, and we're going to hold these people accountable. This is going to be a great opportunity to start to pull back our rights and our power. We need to get our brains around this over the next 30 days and engage with people that have maybe thought it was a good idea to give all this power up to government. And that is why we do this show, Steve.
Well, they may or may not be thinking about how much power they're giving to government today, but when it comes back and hurts them down the road, then they'll be thinking about it.
And that is why we need to engage in the battle of ideas in calm, reasonable conversations with our friends, our family, our colleagues. You know, these students are home from college. Make sure that you're engaging with them and watch what it is they're learning. I think, again, the veil's going to be off at kind of this indoctrination that has happened at these colleges. So I think, Steve, our time is up here. And just wanted to say, you know, who is so essential? We are seeing it's the plumber, the electrician, the person that's working at the stores. And they're, you know, stocking our shelves. They're driving our trucks. So be sure and say thank you to each and every one of these individuals. So today, be grateful, read great books, think good thoughts, listen to beautiful music, communicate and listen well, live honestly and authentically, strive for high ideals, and like Superman, stand for truth, justice, and the American way. This is Kim Munson signing off. God bless you, and God bless America.
Cry, but tell them if I don't serve.